Mia, an aspiring actress, serves lattes to movie stars in between auditions, and Sebastian, a jazz musician, scrapes by playing cocktail party gigs in dingy bars. But as success mounts, they are faced with decisions that begin to fray the fragile fabric of their love affair, and the dreams they work so hard to maintain in each other threaten to rip them apart. Welcome to the Liftoff! La La Land from 2016, it had 57 points, it was on 4 of 20 lists, the highest was number 1.
And then, of course, the bloom came off the rose.
Hey.
Stop it.
The Simpsons Podcast, that became a Futurama podcast.
Yeah, I'll fix it in the post.
Yes, welcome to Two Bad Neighbors Presents the List Off, a Simpsons podcast that became a Futurama podcast that flamed out very quickly, and now we're just talking about jazz. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. We're gonna make it musical, and you already know how much Greg likes singing other things when he's with me. You know it's not gonna come for free.
So good.
That was great.
That was so
off the top of my head.
That was great.
Wait, I know it sounded like it was scripted, but yeah. It definitely wasn't.
That one's got sheet music here.
No, hey, don't look at that. Yes, welcome. My name's Alan.
And I am Greg.
And we are the Two Bad Neighbors. This is TBN Presents the List Off.
The countdown of the best movies of the 2010s.
Yeah, we're doing it.
What movie are we at now?
Number 32.
La La
La,
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 la, la Land.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted all of
La 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 La
La La Land.
La 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 Land.
La La Land from 2016, it had 57 points. It was on 4 of 20 lists. The highest was number 1 with Amanda.
Sup?
And we're here live.
We did it.
In Edmonton.
Finally.
We finally did it. We did it live.
We got it live.
And it's so much better this way.
It's... We like it.
Yeah. I'm very tired today.
Greg had a bit of a night.
I don't want to date this. I had a bit of a night. It was a long one.
Yeah.
There was...
Not a bender.
No.
I know that's what you're all thinking right now.
As I have notoriously gone on record.
That's right. A big alcoholic.
Saying how much I drink. This show. Uh-huh. Which is nothing. Because I can't.
No, you're not allowed anymore.
Not allowed to drink anymore.
Yeah,
because of your health.
I have a weak constitution.
Oh no!
That's why I'm drawn to D&D characters with high constitutions.
That's right.
That's why I like to play a robot.
Greg fails his saving throws anytime he takes a sip of beer.
That's oh no!
Rolls super disadvantage.
Yeah. Amanda's back.
Back again.
For the first and last time.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, what better way to go out for you than your number one movie of the 2010s?
I think you're our first Wrapped guest.
I think so.
This is a wrap on Amanda.
That's a series wrap on Amanda.
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh my god, this is great. Everything is coming together.
To speak in the parlance of the lingos of La La Land.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The Hollywood.
Hollywood Land.
Hollywood... Land.
Hollywood,
did you know it was used to be Hollywood Land?
Yeah.
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 That's why they called the movie Hollywood Land.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
With Ben Affleck?
Oh, yeah.
Diane.
I was like, this one? No, they didn't call it that.
Oh, this is La La Land.
This is La La Land, yeah.
This is La La Land.
A movie that takes its place among the pantheon of the great Los Angeles stories.
Mm-hmm. Great musicals. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And
great love stories.
Great love story, and just Chazelle just directs the shit out of this movie.
Yeah,
that's the first thing that I noticed upon this rewatch.
Yes. So, did you see it when it came out
in theaters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You, Amanda?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did
Me
you
as
like
well.
It in theaters?
I was pretty bowled over by it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, the bloom came off the rose.
Hey, stop it. The shine came off the bloom.
Yes, it did.
We all know the real term.
Et cetera. And I kind of, like, never returned to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when the Oscar seasons come, you get convinced that the movie that you thought you liked isn't actually the one that you should be liking.
Mm. Mm.
You know? And nothing, I think, does more for this movie than it not winning Best Picture.
Yeah.
For its longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that it didn't win is very good. for this movie. Like, you can return to this movie and be like, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Did it win Best Picture? No. Didn't need
Came
to.
Close.
Didn't need
Came
to.
Close. As close as you possibly can.
Close as you can without winning.
Yeah.
To be announced that you won.
Yeah.
And then taken away.
And everyone believed it, too.
Yeah, because
it had all the
you?
Momentum
yeah.
and it won Best Director.
Yeah.
But it picked up a lot of awards, didn't it?
Tons.
It did. And yeah. it is a film that is tied for the most Oscar nominations of all time, with 14. Tied with...
Oh, that would be Ben-Hur.
No.
No? Is it Titanic?
Titanic
it's
and...
Titanic.
There's another one
and
that you might not know.
Titanic and it's not Ben...
It's
no,
not Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur is 11 of 11.
That's right.
That's the
that's,
one.
That's its stat, yeah.
Yeah.
It was nominated for 11 and won all 11.
Which it shares with Return of the King.
Return of the King, that's right.
This is mind-blowing.
This is Oscar trivia, baby!
Oh, give me a hint.
It's an older movie. I haven't seen it, so I can't give you too much of a hint about it. But it's a movie that's, you know, all about a specific character.
All about Eve?
All about Eve. Without knowing anything about the movie, that's the best I could do.
That's great. Thank you.
You're really good at giving hints.
Thank you.
That's why he's our game master.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just wait for the game. There'll be a lot of hints given out.
Oh, gosh.
Just because of the nature of what it is. Stay tuned for that, listeners, at the end of this episode. But let's talk La La Land. So,
yes.
Yeah, we all saw it in theaters when it first came out. This is a movie that I watch, like, every couple years. I actually double-checked on my letterbox. I'm like, yep, I watch it basically, like I watch it 2017, I watch it again in 2019, and then I watch it again in 2021, and I just watched it again today. Last night and this morning. I actually, because everyone else went to bed, and I wasn't sleepy yet, so I'm like, well, I should probably rewatch La La Land. So I fired it up, thinking, because it was already midnight. I was like, I'll probably watch, like, you know, maybe half an hour, and I'll finish it in the morning. I watched an hour and a half. I could not stop. I knew what was coming next, and I was like, oh, I love this part. Oh, this is going to be, oh, I really want to see this. So I had to stop myself right before Mia does her audition at the end, because I know how much that moment is, like, just
it's
impactful, and, like, I'm like, oh, like, I love this part so much, and I can't watch it while sleepy, so I was like, I'll pause it here. So I watched the final 20 minutes this morning, and you know, I teared up a bit. I think it's a beautiful little epilogue, the wonderful little, you know, fantasy sequence of, like, what could have been between these two is so lovely, and I really like it.
It is nice. The movie itself, like, I find pretty uneven for me, just as a musical. It has about as many musical numbers as an 80-minute Disney film.
It is low on actual musical numbers, and that's a, like, criticism, I guess, that I've had for a long time. I don't know, watching it this time, I was like, I don't care. I like the musical numbers they do, and then I like that there's just a lot of, like, little, like, old Hollywood kind of, like, Busby Berkeley, like, big numbers and, like,
sequences,
yeah.
What it doesn't have in musical numbers, like, sung out musical numbers, it kind of makes up for in just dance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In choreography.
Exactly. Yeah.
By Mandy Moore.
Yeah, I just read that this morning. I was like, what?
Pretty cool.
The Mandy Moore?
And is it?
I think so. Actually,
like,
didn't double check. I thought,
like,
maybe
Tangled
you knew.
Mandy Moore?
Yeah.
No, there's actually...
There's another Mandy.
Is it different Mandy Moore?
On So You Think You Can Dance.
Uh-huh.
On that show.
So that makes sense.
A long, long time ago,
yeah.
She was, like, a choreographer for that show.
Yeah. But wouldn't it be crazy if
it
was
Tangled
Mandy
Moore? It would have been super crazy. Because I'm like, I didn't know she can dance.
Yeah.
Samantha Jo Mandy Moore.
Yeah, there you go.
American choreographer, dancer, producer, and dance instructor. Yeah, it's not the Mandy Moore.
Either way, great choreography.
Good work, Mandy Moore.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Really good work. Glad we looked that up.
Aren't you not allowed to have the same name as other people?
Well, I doubt that this Mandy Moore is SAG.
that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's the union thing.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because she's not going to be above the title in any way.
No. She's going to be a footnote that we argue about whether or not it's actress Mandy Moore we know. But yes, wonderful choreography. Also, I believe the sequence where they tap dance during the magic hour, essentially,
mm-hmm.
the purple magic hour, as it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I, for the longest time, thought that was a set.
I thought it was too.
But that's...
It's not?
No, that's... They had like a very small window to film that.
Uh-huh.
And they only did like 5 takes or something. And they used like the 4th one. Like Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, like they do like a rehearsal. And then they like run back to their beginnings like spots. And people would like wipe the sweat off them. And they'd go again right away. Like it's crazy.
That's
brilliant.
It
is crazy because that looks beautiful.
So good.
It is the most... pardon my language, director putting his dick on the table moment of the whole movie, and that's including the freeway sequence.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think it's
yeah.
the most incredibly directed sequence in the movie. And
I think you're right.
And it's just like, let me just pick that back up.
Yeah. Well, and the freeway sequence also, like, obviously quite a wonderful moment in the film and a great way to start the film, but it also, I was reading, is mostly... There's like 30 performers,
mm-hmm.
and so any like far in the background are CG,
mm-hmm.
Which
really?
I found interesting because yeah, I was just like, yeah, it's all real people.
Great use of CG.
Great use of CG.
Yeah.
Smart.
It doesn't surprise me that his next film wins the Academy Award for Best Visual Effects.
That's right. I still haven't seen it.
First Man?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know it's been on the dock. It's one of those ones where I'm like, man, I wish I saw this in theaters. And so
yes.
because of that, I'm like hesitant to watch it because I'm like, I feel like I won't enjoy it as much as I should.
You won't.
Yeah. But my plan is to, yeah, like find a night where I can just like turn all the lights off and like make it as close to a movie theater in my house as I can. Like crank the sound, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it's devastating.
Yeah, I mean.
The movie is devastating.
In what way?
In how sad it is. It is such a sad, sad film.
I mean, it's Chazelle, you know.
Yeah.
Like, this is the peak of him, like, I've made it in Hollywood. And then the rest of his career so far is, like, Hollywood sucks. Everything sucks. Don't fight for your dreams.
It's amazing that we have this movie,
uh-huh.
First Man, and then Babylon immediately after that.
Incredible.
Like, it's this movie and then Babylon. They are the same movie.
Yep.
On two sides of a coin.
Yeah.
Except one side is a pristine silver dollar and the other side is the Two-Face
yeah.
coin.
It's all scratched out.
All scratched out and covered in elephant shit. So I loved this movie on the rewatch. There were a few things about it that I was just like, I remember like people... criticizing like vaguely, and I was just like, well, that's kind of the point,
yeah.
and it's kind of why he hires Gosling
mm-hmm.
specifically.
Mm-hmm.
In that Gosling as a character is insufferable.
Yes,
he sucks.
He sucks.
He sucks. But Gosling is so charismatic.
Yes,
so handsome
mm-hmm.
that it just
it makes sense.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, this guy can just like he cruises through life, essentially. His big test is, do I want to be well-paid and semi-famous?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. Him and Emma Stone, probably the best duo, for me at least. I think I watched almost every movie that they've been in together, and their chemistry is... just fantastic.
Yeah, so Crazy Stupid Love's the only one I know of off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other
that
they're in together?
Gangster Squad.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that one.
Terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
Terrible
movie. They hot, though.
They hot, though.
Yeah.
Dim titties, though.
Yeah, they hot.
I like
that.
Yeah.
And
then La La Land.
Yeah,
there was one more.
They've got the trilogy, at least,
yeah.
of films. Hey.
What?
Commentary trilogy.
Oh, God.
Oh, fun.
Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone together?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be this one and
Gangster
Crazy
Squad
Super Love,
and...
which I enjoy, and Gangster
mm-hmm.
Squad, which I've never seen, heard is trash. So.
It is so bad, but it's so fun. The movie is fun.
It is really fun. I can't get over the voice that he does, though, Ryan
it's
Gosling.
Crazy.
And I'm just like, why was that a choice
yeah.
he made?
Someone fights in a fountain in that movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, like...
Gosling doesn't do much.
No, he doesn't. Which I'm just looking means at his filmography. When he does do things, it's really...
Like, it pops off.
So after this movie, so La La Land in 2016, also the same year as The Nice Guys, a great movie.
Incredible movies, and he's doing... He's got a little bit of The Nice Guys in this movie.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When he does the... Yeah. When he goes, what? You have to start making sense. You have to say something that makes sense right now.
But then he does a movie called Song to Song, which I don't actually know.
Oh, that's the Terrence Malick movie that I think was on a shelf for 30 years.
Oh, boy.
I think that was made when Ryan Gosling wasn't alive, and he's in it, so.
Blade Runner 2049, incredible.
That's 2017, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So the year after this.
So he is at his height right now. This is the height of Ryan Gosling movie star.
He goes back to Chazelle with 2018 for First Man.
And he is an incredible movie star in that movie. No one plays... I think he's one of my favorite modern actors at bottling. At just keeping a cork on everything.
Emotions,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when the
cork pops,
when the movie calls for it, because in The Nice Guys, he's like a champagne bottle.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
You know, it just keeps like popping open. And he can't even handle it. Like, but even when it's popping in The Nice Guys, you do feel like he's restraining the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like he's letting a lot out, but there's more. Specifically in The Nice Guys.
He doesn't do anything for 4 years after First Man. I mean, obviously there's Pendy, but, The Gray Man in 2022.
Is that his next movie?
Mm-hmm.
Never That's his it. Next movie after First Man. First Man?
Yeah.
Wow.
He
wanted to do another Man movie.
We didn't know how good we had it. The Gray Man is so boring.
But guess what he does the year after that?
Barbie.
Yeah. He wants to push you around.
Gosling's back, baby.
He's back.
He's going to get nominated for an Oscar.
He's going to get nominated for an Oscar, absolutely.
I want to push you around.
And he's got a new movie coming out next year, 2024, called The Fall Guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's got First Man, The Gray Man, The Fall Guy. He likes movies with man or guy in it.
Mm-hmm. That's another trilogy.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
There you go.
Let's do those.
No, I don't want it.
Let's do The Gray Man.
I don't want to do that.
Do you remember him in Remember the Titans?
Of course I remember him. I remember him in I Remember the Titans. I remember...
Yeah, we get it. Yeah. We'll get there.
That's fine.
We'll all get there on our own.
It's a really good joke. But I nailed it.
Fill in a joke here.
Yeah, somewhere. Put the joke there. I was remembering. I remember him from fucking Breaker High. I don't know if you...
I had never gotten...
Yeah.
Sure, Young Hercules?
I never watched Young Hercules.
Oh, I tried. I was on a huge Ryan Gosling kick once, and I tried to watch Young Hercules, and I was like,
I don't really gel with him up until Drive. That's when he pops for me, and I'm just like, oh, this is a guy who I'll watch literally do nothing.
See, so if we're going back now, Remember the Titans is first film role. I guess technically there's a movie called Frankenstein and Me that doesn't even have a link on Wikipedia.
No,
so,
we don't count it.
Yeah. But Remember the Titans, he plays a character named Alan, by the way. So one of the great cinematic Alans. Murder by Numbers is what I first remember seeing him kind of like pop in.
Because
I was working at the movie theater at the time, so like anything in that era I basically saw. And it's a forgotten Sandra Bullock like crime drama.
Not forgotten.
Mostly forgotten.
I watched it five weeks ago.
Just because you know it doesn't mean it's not forgotten by the general populace.
Yeah.
But he's like a little piece of shit in that one.
He's
a little rascal.
He's a piece of shit.
United States of Leland? I don't know.
Leland.
Leland, sure. Yeah. Then he does The Notebook in 2004, and that's when
the one.
That's
he becomes
the
star for most people.
That is the
people.
One where he pops.
Yeah.
And that is the one where I... Did you say 2004?
2004?
Yeah. That was the one where I, being a young man in high school, was just like, Ryan Gosling, fuck that guy. He's in movies for girls.
Yeah, boo.
Boo. Titanic sucks. Because I can't even accept that I like Titanic until 2013.
That's how outpilled you were with masculine and bullshit.
Yeah, it's a real thing, guys.
It is. It's it's harming our youth.
Yeah. Which means I missed it in theaters when it came out for the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic.
Oh, Titanic, now we're talking. Yeah.
Damn.
Could have gone to see that with Ali and Camille.
Could have. But instead, you're at home...
watching The Dark Knight for the 11 billionth time? What am I doing with my life?
But after the... I do think it's interesting because after The Notebook, he kind of is like, I don't want that. I don't want to be like a movie star, like heartthrob kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So he does Stay, Half Nelson...
Hang on.
Fracture, just wait.
Stay,
Half Nelson, Fracture, Lars and the Real Girl, Blue Valentine, All Good Things, Regeneration. All of those are before he does Crazy Stupid Love, which is arguably his next, like, Notebook-esque performance.
And it's kind of a response to The Notebook.
It is, yeah. It's kind of, a deconstruction of his character in that one.
Which is very fun. I like Crazy Stupid Love.
I think it's great. I think it's a lot of fun.
It's so good.
So Stay was a movie that a friend of mine, actually the drummer in my first band, had on DVD, and he was like, guys, you're gonna love this. You're gonna love this movie. It's called Stay, and you don't know what's going on in it. And we watched it, and I'm like, even in high school, I'm like, this is bad. Guys, this is bad. Nobody cares about this movie, right?
Do you know who wrote Stay?
I know it's directed by Mark Forster.
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote Stay?
David Benioff.
Oh!
A.K.A. one of the half of the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
People who destroyed their legacy by making season 8.
Yeah. Good for you, David.
Good for you, David.
I mean, a movie nobody cares about. That only exists in my mind because of watching it in a basement and turning to all of my bandmates and saying, you guys don't like this, right? And having radio silence coming back at me.
Oh, no.
And then being like, what are you talking about? This movie's great. And I'm like, you guys are going to kick me out as soon as I leave for university, right?
That's very funny. I had not seen it until, I don't know, like within the last 10 years. And it was more as a lark, you know, like, I've heard this is not a very good psychological thriller. And we watched it and I was like, I was right.
This is not a very good psychological thriller.
It's got a lot of great, great cast though. Half Nelson, I believe, is when he gets his first Oscar nomination.
Mm-hmm.
He was 26 years old, which makes him the 8th youngest nominee in the category. So pretty good. He doesn't get a nomination again until this movie, I believe.
He gets nommed for this?
I think so. Well, actually, I could be wrong about that. Because
when I was watching it, I was thinking while watching it, I'm like, it's crazy he's not nommed for this.
Yeah.
He's so good in this movie.
So good.
He's been nominated twice, I know that. Let me just see it. Maybe I'm misremembering. No, yeah, he was nominated for Best Actor. For
La La Land. Good. This is it's a very good performance and very worthy of a nomination.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad one of them won. I think the right person won.
Emma Stone.
Yeah. Yes. I think Emma Stone is deserving of this, specifically.
She carries the movie, they both carry the movie, but, like, she carries it, she puts more on her.
She puts it past the finish line.
She puts it past the finish line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, his role is supposed to be kind of the, like, you know, inscrutable, like, weirdo. Who seems like an asshole at first, and then, like, once his passion comes out, it's like, oh, there's something more to this guy. He's still kind of an asshole about it, but as you said, charismatic, handsome, but also, I think, when he's, like, spilling his guts about jazz and stuff.
He's passionate, and that is hot.
It's hot.
Yeah.
And she's like, I like this guy. Yeah. And then, it's coupled with the scene where she goes to the boring restaurant with her boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
And she realizes, I don't want this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be with someone who's like telling me all about the saxophone player overtaking the trumpet player on stage when I'm like, who the hell are you? I want to go watch James Dean movies, you know? So she goes, and I love that scene where she arrives at the movie theater and she's on stage.
Oh, it was such a romantic shot.
And then
oh
he stands
God.
Up and smiles, his fucking smile, his award-winning smile. The award that I gave him for best smile.
Alan presents the Smileys. Coming this February.
Once every 7 years. Don't ask me why.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're on the seventh year in February.
It's coming.
We're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing the smileys.
I don't know if this will even be out by February.
No, it'll be after. So I hope you enjoyed the smileys.
Yeah, and then right before they kiss for the first time, and the movie messes up, and it angers me because I'm like, I wanted them to kiss real bad.
The tension was.
I know. I was like, oh, it's the perfect first kiss, and then it gets messed up. But then
you don't actually want them to kiss there.
I do.
I do. Yes, I do too. But you don't when the movie reveals itself.
Yes.
It's like, no, you don't actually want them to kiss there. Trust me.
Go kiss at the observatory. Yes. It'll be wonderful.
And it'll be great. And then they're gonna have a great time. And it's gonna have a wonderful summer.
Yeah.
And it's just
nothing
like
will
Tom,
go wrong.
Just like Tom Cruise wanted. It's all a great summer. And they sure do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a whole blackout, and that's where the intermission would be, and you can leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the movie's over.
Nothing good happens in the fall.
When I have to tell the story, because
yes.
I know Kevin's going to expect me to tell the story.
Great, yeah.
So when we watched this in the theater for the first time, we have the worst movie-going experience because we're always surrounded by people who are on their phones or talking, and it's always in our vicinity. Worst.
Kevin's told me this before, and I'm like, I think
we're
that's
cursed.
An Edmonton thing. It doesn't happen that
yeah,
often for
true.
Me.
True. But we were...
Or you're cursed, because
that's
a real thing.
Cursed.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we decided in The Conjuring.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. I forgot about that already.
So, it was a packed theater... We're watching it, and there was an older guy sitting, like, behind me, but he was talking so loud, but he would make little comments here and there, and it was so fucking annoying.
Uh-huh.
I could not stand him, and you know how, like, in the, they have the seasons
mm-hmm.
on the screen? He would, like, read it out.
Winter.
As if none of us could read. And he was like, oh, summer. But they were, like, really quiet comments that, you know, he wants to make to himself
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
to his wife. But, like, it was loud enough for everyone to hear.
That's infuriating.
It was so infuriating. But then as we kept watching...
I'd divorce that guy if I was his wife.
100%.
Yeah, in the theater.
Yeah.
In
him,
that moment.
We are
serving with the papers.
As soon as he says the third season out loud, it's like, all right, we're done.
Yeah.
You had two strikes, you're out.
And he would just keep, you know, little comments here and there, and I'd be like, oh my God, shut up. I'm trying to watch this movie. But as the movie kept going and his comments kept going, it got really funny. And... I don't know why it got funny, but there was the particular scene where she was doing her audition and telling her story.
Mm-hmm.
So the casting people were like, just tell us a story about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, well, I don't know what to say. And then the guy behind us was like, tell them a story about your life. And I could not watch that whole scene because I was laughing so hard. I was dying. And
that guy knows cinema.
He knows cinema.
What can you say?
And then there was another scene when just after her audition, they're kind of talking about like, oh, like, what are we going to do? Like, where are we in our,
yeah.
in our relationship? But he just asks, or she asked, so where are we? And the guy behind was like, you're in La La Land.
Oh my God.
And that's when I lost my shit. I'm like, this.
You're in La La Land.
This is the best.
You're in La La Land.
You're in La La Land.
Wow.
And
that guy, I mean, that guy probably doesn't have much in his life.
And then when the.
Apparently, he has a loving wife.
Well,
yes,
I don't know about
loving.
Yeah. He has a wife.
Yeah. You don't have to be in love, you just have to be married.
Just kidding!
Just kidding, Kevin.
Just kidding, Kevin. Love you. And then the last thing he said that I remember was during the dream sequence, when it started and it kept going, he was like, what the heck is going on?
I'm so glad you're telling this story because it just, there's bangers for the whole
yeah.
night. Like,
yeah. So
what a great set that guy had.
Yeah.
That was, it was fantastic by the end of it.
Doing his own Mystery Theater 3000.
Love the commentaries. Like, I wish I knew who he was so I can get him again.
Well, if you're listening, sir, reach out.
God
stop.
Bless.
Stop. But stop, yeah, doing that.
Don't do that.
You gotta stop doing that.
You gotta stop.
Not everything you think needs to be heard. Especially in a movie.
Especially in a movie. Theater.
I might go see Silent Night tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's John Woo.
It's really dating.
That's dating us, for sure.
Yeah. That movie's gonna be out of theaters in a week.
Instead, you should have been like, yeah, I saw Silent Night a few months ago. Here's my thoughts.
Here's my thoughts. It's fine.
It's fine.
I'm gonna say this. Joel Kinnaman, competent.
Great.
A competent performance.
Great. Glad to hear it.
Stop trying to make these guys happen.
Yeah, there's
the Joel Kinnamans and Jai Courtneys of the,
yeah,
world. You gotta,
it's not
stop
working.
Making these,
it's not
guys
working.
So we should probably talk about, after you've told us your experience seeing, was this the first time you saw it? That experience?
That
oh,
was
boy.
My first experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many times do you think you've seen it since?
I think I've seen it at least 4 times since.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the one movie that I can watch throughout without having to pull out my phone, because we're all bad at this,
yeah,
nowadays,
yeah,
but like I feel like nowadays I go on my phone intermittently, but this is the one movie where I will not touch my phone and I will just watch it all the way through, because visually, stunning.
It's a stunning.
They're dancing.
The colors.
The colors children.
are so vibrant.
So
listener, I'm dancing in my seat.
Yeah, they can
just
hear
thinking
it.
About it.
They can hear it.
Oh. I don't care.
Oh, he's going.
The music's taking over.
And you know what the wild thing is? This isn't even Justin Hurwitz's best score.
No, it's Babylon.
Yes.
Oh,
it's
God.
Babylon.
Babylon's
incredible.
Was so good.
You like Babylon?
So
yeah.
Much.
Yeah.
Babel Hive, rise up.
Particularly Margot Robbie was freaking,
oh,
phenomenal.
It's an iconic performance.
Yeah.
Her crying.
Yeah.
Amazing. I watched an interview with her where she talks about her crying and she's like, oh, you want it in this eye? Okay, let me, and she does it. Oh, you want it less teary and more like a single drop? Gotcha.
Incredible.
No, like, no, 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 no. Movie stars are robots. The best ones,
yeah,
are literally robots.
Absolutely.
Soulless.
Like you hear about that. You hear about like Fincher giving Fassbender the direction to be like, but a third of an inch shorter of the mark, and just him being able to do it
immediately.
A third of an inch.
Yeah.
Jeez.
An inch is that.
Yeah, that's small.
So like literal centimeters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's less than a third of an inch is less than a centimeter.
That's crazy.
You have to like mark it and just be like, and like we're outside in the dirt and just like, yeah, done.
Oh my God.
Why? Because we're robots. Because modern day movie stars are robots.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shit, I'm a fucking robot.
That's why you're
that
one
was
of
the whole
greats.
Joke in our Futurama run. Was that you're a robot?
Oh yeah. I remember that bit.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine.
Something to pass the time.
Something to get us by.
We're so sorry about that.
Feel like
we were
doing something of import.
Yeah.
We weren't.
I feel like we do still have to make an apology for those episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should do like an apology video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for Patreon, though.
Yeah, just for Patreon.
The apology video.
With a ukulele, maybe?
Yeah, I think we should make a little song.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got one there. We could do it before I leave.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. We're ready to go.
Yeah. So, what I wanted to get to,
yes,
was, this is number one for you.
Yes.
Of the 2010s. A very good decade for movies.
Yep.
And what is it that keeps this movie
Number one.
A top? Like, do you remember what number two was for you?
Number two, I think it was Parasite.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, what lifts this one up above all of that?
All the rest?
Yeah.
I love musicals.
Okay, there you go. And there's just not many anymore.
There really isn't.
That if you don't want to watch like a Disney remake.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And I used to live in California, so like the Hollywood life still resonates with me. Mm-hmm. And the dancing is fantastic. The story and the heartbreak and the passion, all of it together. I can't really pinpoint what it is, because when I watch movies, it's all about how I feel. I'm not really good at analyzing movies like you guys are, or like talking about movies. But for me, I always just go by feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if it made me feel something, then it's
yeah,
there.
See, you're saying you're not a broken human. You're a normal person with feelings, and we're broken.
Who watches the movies for enjoyment.
Yeah, we watch movies and like
you watch
to say,
movies
like,
to find to find a feeling.
I don't know what it is about this movie. I never know what it is about movies that I like. I just like them.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you do, because you just described like
the
choreography
feelings,
pops,
yeah.
The place and the culture that it represents resonates with you on a personal level. The I mean, just the fact that it looks beautiful to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things just like and it just hits in a special zone for you.
It totally does. And especially the ending, like you see me and Sebastian having this beautiful relationship for most of the year, and I can't believe it only lasted that year.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. But it was just a beautiful relationship, and then to see everything happen how it ends, it still felt really that damn dog.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry about Lucy.
Is that getting picked up?
Lucy?
Her name is Lucy.
Which?
The next door neighbor.
Oh, that's the next door neighbor's dog. Yeah.
Not the one we saw running.
No.
That's not the one we saw running?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's getting picked up.
All right, so apologies if you hear a barking dog in the background, but just, you know, think of it as ambiance.
Greg's going to do his best to put a noise gate on this one.
But yeah, how it ended, the ending didn't feel particularly, like, sad or depressing.
Yeah.
Like, you knew where the characters were in their life, and I think they both understood that they were in each other's lives for a reason, and it served a purpose.
Yeah.
And it only helped them blossom in their life after the relationship. So it felt comforting, sad still, but comforting at the same time.
It's the sad in the thing in the way like things must end.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that has a beginning has an end.
That's true.
Oracle. Matrix.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah.
That was good.
True
that was
fact.
It was really good.
and it is. It's the sad fact of life. It's the sad fact of most things. You know, things end one way or another. But it's just like it's all about what you say. Like, what did it do? How did it shape us?
Mm-hmm.
It's the friends we made along the way.
Exactly. And
well,
it's sorry.
I was just gonna say the interesting thing is that I feel like for Greg and I, this movie hits in a certain way because we went the dreamer route for a while. I mean, I think you're still in it, which I applaud you for.
Excuse me for living a dream.
I will not excuse you.
Please continue.
No, I like, you know, we both went to school studying acting, and we both moved to Calgary and have done our best to work in theater here. Greg more successful than I, but I've also given up. So, you know, there's a difference, but this movie is about, I mean, it's about Hollywood specifically, but it is that like, you know, there's so like the opening number, the Another Day of Sun, the audition song, so much of this movie is about that, that feeling of like, I want to do something artistic and creative and have an impact and just like, what does that mean to as a person, you know? And like Gosling's whole journey as well is very much tied to that. Like he gets arguably what, and he says this in their fight, right? Like he's like, this is what people like work their whole lives for, is to be in a successful band that tours. And she's like, well, that's not your dream though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't know, there's all this like interesting dynamics at play about Hollywood, about fame, about chasing a dream. And it is interesting that this movie was, I believe, what Damien Chazelle wanted to make first. It was like kind of the first movie he wanted to make.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we're not going to do that because we don't know who you are, sir. Get out of our office. and so he had to make Whiplash.
Makes a short film Whiplash.
And then makes the film. He gets funding for the film. It becomes a hit, a surprise hit. You know, gets nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Wins the Best Supporting for...
it's two Oscars.
Yeah, Best Supporting for J.K. Simmons. What's the other one? Score?
I believe it's Film Editing.
Okay, yeah.
I believe it wins Film Editing.
That's a great win.
Is awesome.
Yeah. And so because of that film success, they're like, okay, we'll let you make this weirdo Hollywood throwback with a sad ending.
And the thing is, he's given $30 million.
For this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is...
not a lot.
Not a lot of money, but in 2016 terms, holy shit, does he stretch that dollar.
Yep.
Yeah.
This movie looks extravagant.
It does.
Yeah.
And, like, just looking at the budget and looking at the product is like, no, yes, this is the director.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Oscar winning. And even Babylon,
yeah,
I think, is only made for 80?
I can check for you.
Because I think First Man, with its visual effects, eventually comes in at his most expensive movie.
Really?
That would make sense.
Just thinking about Babylon's, like, first... like big sequence.
Whole set piece.
Yeah, yeah. That was wild. Yeah,
that's probably where most of the money is.
It's wild. Yeah. It's wild, but I don't think it cracks 100 at least.
Budget really? 78 to 80 million.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Guess what the box office was?
It was 60?
63 million.
Yeah.
Whoa.
What Yikes.
A bomb.
Yikesies.
What a bomb.
Yikesies. You're all wrong, by the way. Who didn't go see it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We saw it at the VIP. Maybe.
I saw it Christmas Day.
I know. Your story is best. Your story is the best.
And it's... yeah, we saw a late show.
Uh-huh.
Selena fell asleep.
Oh, no!
Which I don't blame her for. It's a long-ass movie. Long we saw movie. A late show. We just had, like, Christmas dinner and stuff. It's
3 hours and 9 minutes.
Yeah. And we were the only ones in the theater. So, you know, it's like...
Why not? Grab a nap. The movie will still be on when you wake up. It's one of the things I like about Babylon.
Right?
That's true.
I need a rewatch of that one, I think.
Oh, I'm due for a rewatch for sure.
Yeah.
Ditto.
It's so good.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. And it is the reason we're talking about it so much, not just because we want to boost that movie as much as we can in our limited sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the perfect flip side to this movie.
Yeah, it's a weird companion piece to this movie. Mm-hmm. And it's like what I was saying about the, you know, the dreamers, right? Like,
yeah.
That's the kind of, like, overall theme of La La Land. It's like, here's to the ones who dream, right? Like, the audition sequence, I think, does say it all.
Yeah.
And Babylon, on the flip side, is basically like, stop it. Don't do it. Don't go to Hollywood. It sucks.
It's so interesting because he does write this movie, like, the treatment for this movie, the concept for this movie, before he's even in the club.
Yeah, that's right.
In the Hollywood Club.
Mm-hmm.
He writes it as the perspective of a dreamer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he writes Babylon as from the perspective of an insider who's seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was a dreamer and is in it
and
now.
And is in it now and thinks it sucks.
And realizes that he's standing on a mountain of shit yelling into the abyss.
That's right.
Holy shit, it's a good movie.
So good.
But you don't care because we get Avatar.
Movies.
We get movies.
Aren't movies great?
Yeah. Doesn't James Cameron make great movies? That's the message of Babylon.
100%.
That's what I got from it. Anyway,
100%.
That ending montage, because he hits a bunch of Cameron movies.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The overall message of Babylon is Hollywood sucks, movies are great.
Yes.
That's the very basic reason for it. Oh, that's a cat. I thought that was the same dog.
Oh, that's a cat.
That's a cat. Just chilling.
It's a cat.
That's a normal thing for a cat.
that's a regular thing. Yeah, I don't know. I just the dreamers thing just really hits me hard because you know, there's still a side of me that's like, what can I do to, like, itch that creative side?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to work in theater.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you?
But, like, there's got to be something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. One day.
Well, there's like the whole like, what avenue can you take? And I do appreciate that only one of these people is an actor who wants to be on camera, who wants to be on stage, who is this ideal, has this, like, ideal of magic of movies. And she never seems to lose that for whatever reason. She doubts herself.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like the process of trying to get into it. But once she's into it, she's married to Tom Everett Scott. She has a kid. And it's lovely. Her whole world.
And the people at the coffee shop
treat her like,
are like, mm-hmm. you're the cool one now.
You're the cool mm-hmm. one now. It's the flip side of everything. Like, she, her dreams all come true. Especially that Tom Everett Scott thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Which I think is very clever casting, and I have no doubt that Damien Chazelle is a big fan of That Thing You Do. Just because he's a music guy,
sense,
right?
Yeah.
And like, Tom Everett Scott's greatest role is Shades.
That's right.
Guy Patterson.
Guy with Shades.
Yeah.
Mm.
Guy Patterson from That Thing You Do, the drummer of The Wonders. What are you guys looking at?
Sorry, the cat was running across the street.
Running across the street.
This is why we usually record in a basement, so we don't
get
distracted by outside.
We haven't recorded in a basement
That's
for
true.
Years.
Listen, the listener doesn't need to know that.
I don't think we've recorded in a basement since we all got
It's got basement vibes, all right? The studio has basement vibes, let's
That's
be clear.
True. Yes, it does.
Can't see outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Clutter everywhere.
Well, excuse me.
Music equipment.
Me. For having hobbies.
What you're saying about Mia being the actress, and then Gosling. What's his character's name? I just watched
Sebastian.
It. Thank you. Right, Seb.
Sebs.
I believe it was actually originally supposed to be, he wanted to be a famous jazz musician,
mm-hmm.
right? And I love that they changed it to, he wants to own a jazz club,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's, A, more reasonable, B, I just like, it gives you the insight into this guy a bit more of like, he's not necessarily, like, he doesn't want to be like, look at me, look how great I am. And we see that with when he's touring with John Legend, right? Like, he doesn't want to do that. He just wants to, like, help enable other musicians in this genre that he believes is dying or dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's really, like, I don't know, some of the complaints about this movie about how, like, he's, like, a, you know, a white dude who loves jazz and, like, he's explaining jazz, to, you know, like,
hey,
also,
man,
like,
exist.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, I like that he's passionate about this genre, and, like, I think it works just fine, and it's a believable kind of character. Like you said, this kind of person exists, and he's insufferable at times, but other times he's really inspiring, and I think, like, the bit we get at the end with him, with his club open and seeing how well attended it is and all the people on stage clearly having a ball. I'm like, yeah, that's something aspirational, I think.
Yeah. And going off of what you were saying about him, like, enabling other musicians to kind of show their art, I feel his character definitely is the one who helps the dreamers kind of reach their potential and get to where they need to be, because he was that for John Legend's character.
Yeah.
Does that for Mia.
Yeah.
And then when he finally opens up the club, he's like, look at all these fantastic, like, musicians.
Yeah. Comes out and, like, is sure to call them all out by name,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like,
yeah.
There's promoters who would not give a shit about that. They're just like, all right, who's next to make me money, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I like his character a lot, especially on this rewatch. I was, like, going in with these, you know, criticisms I've heard before of people, I think, really scraping the bare bones of, like, what the movie's trying to say, and just, I mean, it's fucking CinemaSins internet critique culture, you know? It's just like, what's the easy log line to complain about this movie? It's like, oh, white man jazz. It's
there,
like,
it is.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
mm-hmm.
grasp onto that and never let go.
Yeah.
And have fun being angry your whole life. This movie's wonderful.
he does have this streak in him that's just like, would you chill out?
Oh, absolutely.
For, like, a second. But it's very, very... That's why the Rosemary DeWitt character as the
sister.
Is so important.
Yeah.
Underutilized.
Yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because we have Rosemary DeWitt.
Just in, like, what, two scenes?
She's in one scene with dialogue.
Yeah.
The other scenes, she's just there. She's just there.
Yeah.
Which makes me think there were other
Maybe
scenes.
Maybe some cuts, yeah.
But this movie is lean.
It is.
Which is really admirable.
Just a little over
two hours,
yeah.
For a musical, like...
Yeah.
And it has a intermission.
Mm-hmm. We love to see it.
Right in the middle. It's a It's a blink and you miss it, but it's there. It's intentional.
Is the first kiss fade out, or is it different?
Yeah.
Great.
First kiss fade out.
I wanted to say, I found out that was a shot filmed in reverse.
No, wait, no. First kiss fade out is at the...
observatory.
And that's in spring, right? No. Winter? Spring.
I think it's spring.
Summer?
Spring.
Because then the next shot is them, him honking, right? And she's like, or her roommates are like, is that going to happen every time? She's like, I think so. Because she's in love. she runs down. They drive off. You hear like some commotion on the street. And then it goes, summer.
Then yes, that is the, yes.
I just watched it, so that's why I didn't remember it so well.
I watched it 2 days ago. And that part is, I just lost it. But I do remember that now, because every time the seasons change, the color palette changes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the garbage cans are suddenly purple.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But the observatory kiss, I just wanted to say, is apparently all shot in reverse. So they started with a blackout. They like irised in to them already kissing. Then they move away. They float up. And that's why they land so nicely on their chairs, mm-hmm. is because they played all that backwards. I think
wow.
that's really cool.
That is really cool.
That's filmmaking, baby.
Yeah, that's directing.
That's directing.
I would have never known.
Right? It's so good.
So seamless.
Give the man the Oscar.
Give him. Well, they did.
Oh, good. Great.
But never again.
And that's...
yes. He is ejected.
You're out. You're out. You've exposed us.
Don't do Babylon. We warned you not to do Babylon.
If that is your mic drop...
I mean, it's pretty good.
It's
That's
pretty
good.
Good
mic drop.
Yeah, yeah. If you only have four in you...
Part of me is also like, if that's what, like, the end of his, like, big budget Hollywood movies, I'm okay with that. Like, if he makes another movie in a few years and it's more of a Whiplash, like, feel, I'm all in.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's like Shyamalan, right? Like, Shyamalan... had his time to do big budget shit, and it was bad. And then he's like, I'm going to fund myself and do indie stuff again. And he's making really good movies.
It's true. But Babylon does have the feeling of Homer Simpson driving across the bridge and throwing a match.
100%.
Yeah.
While playing the boss's
playing
head
the boss
as a
head
bongo.
Like a bongo. Yeah. Yeah. He
and
did
then
it.
Kicking him out of the buggy. That's what Babylon feels
that
like.
That is 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Burns, in this case, is Paramount.
yeah. But yeah. Oh, what was the other one we were just about to talk about? Color palettes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was about to talk about it. Thing I noticed this time is the face in the crowd or whatever sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're dancing in the house and they're getting ready for their party.
Oh, yeah.
All the rooms have different color palettes. That, like, I don't know, I was just like, I never really thought about it before, but I'm like, this is so wonderful. Like, just what a, like, simple thing to do, to have, like, a practical set of a house, and each room be a different color palette, and so when you, like, move between rooms, like, everything changes, and the different dresses that they're wearing start to pop or blend in, depending on where you're at. It's, man.
It's just so nice for the eyes.
It's so beautiful.
It's lovely.
Just good directing, sir.
I'm just wondering, like, I should probably look this up. Just because I'm a friggin' nerd about it. Just what... Because it says CinemaScope.
Yes.
At mm-hmm. the beginning.
Sure does.
And I'm one... And, like, it's Chazelle, so that's probably real?
Yeah.
Like, in that it's filmed...
That he actually filmed it in CinemaScope?
Filmed it in CinemaScope and on stock. On film stock.
Yep. Wouldn't surprise me. Because
it does have that... It does have that... ineffable film quality where, like, colors are more than they are.
I mean, Singing in the Rain, right? Like,
yeah.
Obviously a huge influence to Chazelle.
Yeah.
Not only because Babylon is basically Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
To the point where they go watch Singing in the Rain at the end of the movie, and I'm like, I get it!
I get it,
man! But that's like that's the feeling I get from this movie as well, is that like he's trying to recapture that like Gene Kelly, you know.
I felt that a lot in the dream sequence.
Yes, absolutely. Like the epilogue at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was shot on Super 35.
There you go.
Wow.
Not digitally, with Panavision lenses in the CinemaScope aspect ratio, but it was not shot in true CinemaScope, as that technology no longer exists.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Mm. But they emulated it as much as they could possibly do, which is probably super close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it gets harder and harder, like in the dinner sequence,
mm-hmm.
when it all, that's a great scene.
That's a very good scene.
Yeah.
The dissolution of their relationship.
In one scene, mm-hmm. it's from a play. That scene is straight out of a play.
Absolutely. Oh, really?
Well, not actually, but like it is something the that vibes. you could see happening on stage, because like everything in plays are like you're almost exclusively confined to a single location, maybe two,
right.
and things have to happen
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
those locations, right? So what's better than the woman coming home and seeing her partner there and being very, very excited to see them? What's more exciting than that? Happiness dissolving into a breakup
mm-hmm.
in the same scene.
You even know? Just, I can't even remember exactly what he says, but there's like the one line he says where she like is clearly like, that's like kind of a deal breaker like comment if you're serious. And she asks like, are you serious? And he says yes. And you can tell like in her eyes.
Well, he says, I don't know. Right?
Does he say, I don't know too, if he's serious? Yeah, I mean, which is basically saying yes.
Yes.
Yeah. it's like, yes, I believe that, but I don't want to admit it because I can tell you're very angry that I said that. So I can't remember exactly what he said, but he basically like, says something about her being an actress. And like,
yeah.
Anyway, this is one of the scenes I watched last night.
He diminishes her vocation.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, but that tension in that scene, thank God for the smoke alarm.
Yeah.
And that's also a very way, a very theatrical way to end the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like not having it end in the middle of the scene, having it end with a character exit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to do that on stage.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise it's a blackout, and blackouts are cheap, guys.
I want to see if I can find out what the line is. Keep talking.
So yeah, I think that's my read on that scene. It's like, I'm writing this for the stage, and it becomes, the whole thing is very stagey with its
mm-hmm.
with its long takes.
Yeah.
And its throwbacks to the old musicals, because, well, we just didn't have time for other camera setups.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta shoot as much as we can in wide masters. And then when it gets less musical in the second act, after our blackout,
mm-hmm.
When it gets less musical and more dramatic, like overtly dramatic, it becomes more of a stage play.
Yeah.
And less of a musical, but more of a stage play. It always stays theatrical.
Yeah. And you can totally feel it.
Yeah.
Especially from the first part. First act to the second.
And I think that's what keeps it from being wildly uneven.
Yeah.
You know? I do think the movie is uneven, but I think it's an intention, you know, like where we have all of our, we have most of our musical bangers in the front half, because why do we sing in musicals? Because we are expressing feelings that we could not express in words or in action. So we have to sing and dance about them, you know.
Yeah, I found it.
And hang on. And the musical numbers, the dance numbers are all about that. Like whenever they're together, they end up dancing.
Yeah.
They end up singing, you know? And it's because they can't express what's going on in words. It has to be dance. It has to be choreography. It has to be them floating through the observatory, you know? That's why whenever they're interrupted by kisses, when they're about to kiss, it's just like, no, God damn it! Because there's two. There's two kiss interruptions. One by phone, one by burning of a movie. And then they finally kiss.
Yeah.
Rule of three. What are you going
to
say?
Right. Sorry, I wasn't trying to say, like, I found it and shut up. I was just...
No, I tied off my hand.
Yeah, great. You did it. he says, maybe you liked me more when I was a failure because it made you feel better about yourself. And that's when she says, are you kidding? And he says, no.
Oh, my.
That was a
devastating,
deep cut.
Devastating.
Deep cut.
Roasted.
Like, and you felt that. Like, yeah. I felt that. Yeah. And more on
Gosling is so good in that scene.
He is.
Yeah.
Because I, like, I feel for him. I feel for both of them. But I'm, like, it's hard to pick a side, but I'm kind of on his side in that. But I'm also, like, why didn't you talk about this before?
That's the thing.
You know, like, he goes out and gets and signs on the line that is dotted without actually having a conversation with her. He signs on the line which is dotted after hearing a conversation that she's having with her mother.
That's right.
Take none of, nothing as gospel.
No.
When that's going on.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he allows that to inform his decision making.
Mm-hmm. And but he also, like, he does it in, obviously, in the wrong way. Like, he does it in a way of, like, I'm doing this because it's what she wants. And it's like if you're doing something in that aspect, if it's not what you also want, you're gonna resent that person some point down the line. It might not be immediate, but it's gonna happen.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon, and for the rest of your life.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, so it's like, it's, don't do that. Like, you need to want it too, man. And he clearly doesn't. Man, the shot of him with the hat and the glasses when he's getting the, like, they're doing the photo shoot.
That's
so funny.
That's classic Gosling.
Bite your lip a bit.
Like this?
Go, piano player, play the piano.
Play the
come
piano.
On.
Come on, piano man. Keep playing. Don't stop playing.
That photographer's great.
He's very funny.
Can we talk about John Legend and the band?
I think we should. What was
the Messengers?
The Messengers, yeah.
The Weekenders.
I don't know.
I'm living for the weekend.
It's
a Disney channel.
It's a Disney channel.
Cartoon. Right. Yeah. It's a Disney Channel original.
There you go. The Messengers. So here's the thing about that song that they play. I think it's a banger.
It's a banger, yeah.
Oh,
I think it
really
rules.
Is.
Yeah. It rules. The only problem is
there's
only one problem with the song,
uh-huh.
and it's overdone.
Yes.
It's like the stage show
is too much. Yes.
As soon as the dancers come on, I'm like, what are you doing?
100%. And that's kind of the joke of the movie, and like, it's why you're supposed to, as a viewer, be like, oh, this is bad, actually, right? Like,
yeah.
I want, like, his slow piano melody.
But I don't.
But when I'm just listening to the soundtrack, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, we can start a fire. I'm, like, singing along.
It's
like,
a great jazz fusion
great.
Song.
It's
yeah,
so good.
He's so
like,
good.
That's why they
it
call
helps
it.
A John Legend singing. You know?
Yeah,
he's got a great
he's
voice.
He's a really good singer.
Yeah.
He's a really great performer.
Yes.
And the band is huge
and I love
really
the
tight.
Keys.
They're great.
To be honest, I'm like, tickle his ivories, baby.
I do love that he's playing on three different boards.
Oh, hell yeah.
For the song.
A little excessive,
it's,
but it's so great.
Well, it's straight out of Styx.
Yeah.
You know, from the 80s. Like, if you ever watch a video of Styx playing, like, Come Sail Away, the guy's got the...
That was the 80s. It's like, how many keys can we get in this song?
How many keys can we do it? And he's like, well, you're a jazz player. Figure it out. That's what jazz players are used for. Is it's like just being able to do anything you throw at them.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea of being a jazz player in popular music. Is like, you're just going to be a session player.
Yeah.
Which means you're going to make so much money.
So much money.
Yeah.
But you're going to be on tour all the time. So you're not going to see your
girlfriend. Yeah. There's, I mean... His other option would have been being a studio musician, like an actual session player,
and just stay in rather than tour with the band, just
work
help any band that comes in.
Exactly,
like
Guy Patterson in That Thing You Do at the end
right.
of that movie.
That's right.
He becomes a session musician, and it's very good.
One of my favorite parts in the movie is when Sebastian goes to jam with John Legend and the Messengers for the first time. And they get going and he's like, oh,
the
yeah.
kind of the switch.
And then as soon as he puts the beats on...
The drum pad. Yeah.
Brian Gosling's
like... He's looking around. He's like...
Is this actually happening? Classic Ryan Gosling face to me.
Oh, 100%. Like, it's the Ryan Gosling won't eat my cereal kind of situation. You know that? Are you familiar with this?
No.
Okay. I think it was a Vine...
I think it started out as a Vine.
It was basically, it was like Ryan Gosling won't eat my cereal. And he'd take clips of Ryan Gosling on their TV, and they'd hold up a spoon of cereal to him, and he'd react to it in different ways, and it's just so fucking funny. Like, you know, there's ones where he's just, like, looking down at it and then looking up, like, what the hell is this?
Or he'll, like, turn away.
Yeah, he'll turn away right before it gets to him. It's so fun. Look it up.
How furious do you think the creator of Vine is at TikTok?
Oh, so furious.
Very.
It's just like, I lost everything, and you just did the same thing?
It's MySpace Tom and Zuckerberg all over again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Standing on the shoulders of geniuses and calling themselves tall or whatever.
Sark fucker nerd. That'll come in again.
You might hear that again at some point.
Way
later in our list. One thing I want to say as well, like, just going off that, like, the classic Ryan Gosling face,
mm-hmm.
I think that, like, that's another reason this character works so well for me throughout the movie, is that Ryan Gosling is perfect at having that reaction to that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
but never coming across as, like, he's above it. He's just, like, confused by it. And then also, like, both the time when he's playing at the pool party or whatever, and playing I Ran So Far Away, and the time on stage playing the We Can Start a Fire or whatever, for the like when we first see it, and Mia first sees it, and as well as when he's in the fucking restaurant or whatever playing Christmas songs,
mm-hmm.
all of those moments, he's still just, like, smiling, and like, this is my job, like, you can tell he hates it, but he's not giving up that to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like he's so good at being, like, just, like, kind of a shrug and a smile. Like, yeah, this is what I'm doing. I don't know. I don't like it, but people seem to enjoy it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. Something about that is really charming to me, because I feel like another actor would take any of those moments and have this, like, look of disdain and disgust. You know what I mean? While they're doing it. Like, oh, fuck, I can't believe I'm playing Jingle Bells, but he's, like, smiling and, like, nodding and, like, you know, like, he's doing a job. He knows what he needs to do.
Hates it, but does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love the J.K. Simmons pop in that scene, by the way.
My favorite is the bit of him at the end in the epilogue where he goes to stand in front of him and then starts snapping. That whole sequence is just pure magic. Like, all the, like, going through their lives again. And honestly, like, the moment, like, because we see the moment, you know, early on where he is pissed off, so he, like, shoulders his way past her when she wants to compliment his song. And so seeing that moment again played basically exactly the same, except instead he just immediately kisses her, I'm just like, my heart flutters and flies out of my body.
Everything about that dream sequence, I love it.
It's so good.
And then it turns as soon as, like, it switches from, like, a theatrical performance to then, like, an old film footage of what could have been, and
they do, like, a shadow play at one point.
Yeah.
Like, they use so many different little tricks.
You know what it reminds me of?
Babylon.
Yep.
It all comes back to Babylon.
Well, it just further cements it as the perfect companion piece.
Absolutely.
And that it ends with another, like, an insane montage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all I could think about this time when watching it. I'm like, this is so beautiful. This is so idealized. This is so wonderful. And it's, and, like, what it's saying is very, very simple and very, very effective.
Mm-hmm.
The one, conversely, in Babylon is much more experimental, which is, like, I would say much more experimental filmically.
Mm.
Whereas, like, the one in La La Land is very, like, we're doing all the old tricks.
Yeah.
We're doing all these, all the old tricks, and we're doing them in camera, and we're doing them as a, we're doing them as vignettes.
Yes.
You know, whereas the montage in Babylon is, like, filmically, it's all, and, like, he starts, like, putting, like, fucking food coloring on the lens.
Yeah.
or something, and it's, like, it gets very, very, expressionistic.
Yeah.
As it continues.
It's great. I was going to say, too, like, what I also appreciate about that ending sequence is it recontextualizes moments throughout the film in, you know, the idealized way. So, like, specifically the play, right? Mia's play. When it ends and then it shows a crowd full of people erupt into applause and Gosling's there cheering her.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, yeah, that's what she wanted.
Yeah.
We remember what she got, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about
six people.
Let's talk about that for a real quick second. It is the
Was it Return to Boulder City? Is that what she called
Farewell Boulder
City? Farewell Boulder City. That's what it was.
terrible.
It looks bad.
Yeah, this play looks bad.
It's a one-woman show, so I already hate it.
I'm already out.
For the one part, by the way, to be clear. Not the woman part, all right?
I've just had way too many bad experiences with one-person shows.
One-person shows have almost unanimously.
Uniformly?
Yep, both of those. Been, like, trash to me.
Yeah.
Like, there's very few exceptions.
Well, we also have a fringe culture that
that's
we have
the problem.
To look back on.
Yes. Yes, that is the problem with the fringe.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone wants to do one-person shows because then they get all the money.
They're cheap.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yum, 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 yum.
Eat up, little piggy. And so, the fact that she got six people in attendance, pretty good.
In L.A., not too bad.
In L.A.?
It's a one-only, one-night-only show.
Yeah.
One-night-only
show at a closed theater.
Yeah.
And it's called Return to Boulder City, Farewell Boulder City, whatever Boulder City.
Summer of Boulder City.
And it's in L.A., so you have to drive.
That's true.
And find parking.
And find parking in L.A.
In L.A.
Yeah.
Ew.
Who wants to go to your play?
Weekend?
I'm sorry.
And it's a play in Los Angeles?
Yeah, no one wants to see that.
You know what I've always heard has a bustling theater community? Venice Boulevard.
I mean, it is telling that she moves to New York at the end of the movie.
Does she?
Emma Stone, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when her and Tom Everett Scott are there, it's like they're talking, they're like, oh, like, it's nice to be back here.
Oh,
I forgot
right.
about this part of it. Or this is something I don't miss about LA, like the traffic, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and...
yeah, she is a, like, she should have gone to New York.
Absolutely.
Like, if she wants to do
plays
go
well,
to where
the
they're respected and attended.
And to be fair, I don't think she necessarily did know she wanted to do plays at first. She just knew she wanted to be an actress, right?
Yeah.
And so to her and to everyone on that freeway at the beginning, that's where you go. You go to LA,
yeah.
Right? And so, and that's why she's doing all these shitty auditions. And like,
yeah,
it was Gosling, right? That said, like, cause she's like, oh, like maybe I should write a play. Or he's like, you should do that. Like, he's the one who kind of pushed her to start actually doing that. And, it was, you know, it was kind, but misguided because again, I think just because of the culture of LA, but,
mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, when I was watching this one, I was like, she sends her email.
Oh yeah,
I remember the internet memeing it to be like, BCC your email list. I just watched it when I was watching it. I was like, she wouldn't.
No,
have you been watching this character?
Yeah, she doesn't know.
She's. A fucking dreamer. That's why she thinks. That's why she's gotten herself into this scenario where she thinks that people are going to come to see a play in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
On
the flip side,
wild. One person does.
Gosling should have been there.
On the flip side, Gosling should have been there.
100% should have been there.
Like, I don't give a shit if you need to do photo shoots with your bet. You tell them, no, my partner's. One night only show is happening. I need to go to that. Like, sorry, that takes priority.
Or you give him one lower lip bite and then
sure.
Leave.
And then you're like, that's all you get from me. I have to go.
Yeah.
The fact that he doesn't show up till it's over is like, I'm like, not on his side anymore.
That's been a deal breaker.
Yeah. And it kind of is, right?
Is,
like,
yeah.
She's like, I'm moving away from the city.
It's not a deal breaker if my partner doesn't show up to my play.
If it was a one night only and they were in the city?
That's fine.
All right.
That's fine.
That's fair.
What if it's one you wrote, directed, produced, paid all the money for? Like, she put a lot of
effort. Yeah, she put a lot into it, but also, it's a play.
You're telling me if Ali did all that, you wouldn't go see it?
Oh, if Ali did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I'd go.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I would move heaven and earth to go.
Exactly. Okay, thank
but
you.
But I wouldn't expect that of her.
Well, that's fine. That's because you're, like, you know, like, you have a kind heart, but... Most people don't. Most people are very petty and very, like, especially, like, in that situation. Like, it's, I mean...
I probably wouldn't have done the show for six people.
Well,
I've
just
been like,
you'd been like, never
you guys
mind.
Want to go for a drink instead? I mean, I guess I'm paying, so theater bar is open. Let's have a drink, go home.
The
you
only,
didn't want to see this anyway. It's 3.5 hours long.
Yeah, it's too long. The only excuse Ryan Gosling would have is if he was, in fact, Spider-Man.
Yes.
And needs to protect the city.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The thing is, mm-hmm. in Spider-Man 2,
uh-huh.
that's a Broadway run.
Yeah. He can see it many nights. Exactly, yeah.
Many
that's the difference. That's
yeah.
the main difference.
Yeah. Anytime. And so, like, her...
When
getting,
she's like, oh, you're an empty seat. It's yeah. like,
give him time.
You want him to be there every night? Because yeah. that's unreasonable.
Yeah. It's a... and when he does show up, you forget your lines!
Yeah, idiot! Because you're... And then you, like, say hi to him in the audience? You're fired now.
Yeah.
That's not a professional.
I am glad.
Are you glad to hear it?
I am glad to hear it. Perfect movie, 5 stars.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Do you remember after she does her her show,
mm-hmm.
and she's just like sitting there, and then you hear like the two people out of the six that came,
mm-hmm. oh yeah,
talking shit about her play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why can't you guys
wait
till
you're
outside? Wait
till
outside?
You're out of the building. That's
Come
such
on,
an amateur move.
Rude.
It is an amateur movie.
Yeah. Never talk about the play you just saw.
No, you wait until you're at the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
yeah.
All you say is congratulations yeah. and, you know, give them a hug if you know them.
Congratulations. You got a,
you got a
real,
real
lovely
nice
home here.
Hey. He's not wrong.
You can't say something nice. Compliment the house.
This film was nominated, as I said, for 14... Academy Awards. Do you know which ones it won for?
Let me take a guess here.
Yeah.
I believe it wins for Best Actress.
It does, Emma Stone.
I believe it wins for Best Director.
Sure does, Damien Chazelle.
Best Original Song.
Yes, City of Stars, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm scrolling down, yeah.
Also wins Best Score.
Yes, Justin Hurwitz.
And Screenplay.
I think so. Let me just, sorry. I'm on the website, so it's not easily... Where the fuck is screenplay? There it is. No. Guess what won screenplay? Because this was original.
Original. And the year is...
2016.
Django Unchained.
No.
I don't know when that movie came out. I can't remember.
I don't, it's not listed here, so I'm not sure if it was this year. But I'll tell you the other nominees.
Okay.
How's that? 20th Century Women.
Nope.
Hell or High Water.
Nope.
And The Lobster. And then, sorry, I'm not telling you all the,
right.
like, because I'm not telling you the winner.
The winner.
So the nominees were La La Land, 20th Century Women, Hell or High Water, The Lobster. Which one won? I'll say this is by a playwright.
That's by a playwright.
Yes.
In 2016.
And this guy also wrote, I think, one of your favorite... early 2000s Scorsese films.
One of my favorite early 2000s Scorsese films.
I think.
Is this... No, it's not Steve's Alien.
No.
And Moonlight is an adapted, right?
Moonlight's the one that wins adapted
yeah.
screenplay, yes.
So...
Against Arrival, Fences, Hidden Figures, and Lion. Those are the ones that loses best adapted.
This... is it Manchester?
It
by
is
the
Manchester
sea?
By the Sea,
that,
written by Kenneth Lonergan,
yes,
who also wrote Gangs of New York. That's what I was alluding to.
With Steve Zalian.
Gotcha. That's why. Oh, okay. See,
yes.
I didn't know that part. So, you know that you often know the playwright or sorry, the writing credit people way better than I do. So, Jay Cox, Steve Zalian, and Kenneth Lonergan,
yeah,
all wrote it.
A very good movie that I like. A
I like
lot.
That movie as well. I haven't seen it in a long time though.
But
yeah, so it doesn't win that. It, let's see, also doesn't win picture, as we know.
Yeah.
It doesn't win best actor. That's Casey Affleck.
Does it win cinematography?
I don't think so. Where is that one? Cinematography. Oh, no, it does win cinematography.
Mm. There we go.
Linus Sandgren.
It's a beautifully, beautifully shot movie.
It also wins best production design.
Cool. Oh, wow. Okay, six. So far?
Yeah. Not sound.
How many total did it win?
That's what I'm... I think that's it. I think the six.
That's pretty great.
That's
14
good.
Noms, six wins. Yep, six
yep.
wins. Moonlight won three. And so, films that received multiple awards this year. La La Land with six, Moonlight with three, Hacksaw Ridge and Manchester both with two. All the others, any wins were single wins for
mm-hmm.
that film. So pretty spread out. All right, so I brought up the Oscars because that brings us into our game.
Oh, we're playing our game. Here we go.
Oh,
and
man.
This game is the best original songs from the 2010s.
Oh, we played this game from the 90s.
We did.
So, let's do it. Here we go.
That's why I said there will be a lot of hints, because I don't expect either of you to know
well, this
best original songs just point blank.
This
know?
Means Disney isn't dominant.
That's right.
Anymore, so it's not as boring as the
90s. The 90s was fun because Disney was dominant, but yeah, is also easier to guess. Anyway,
okay.
So from 2010, I guess I'll always add, there's four nominees. If for whatever reason you do know any right off the top of your head, you're welcome to say it, but otherwise I'll give you some hints. So the nominees, there is two Disney movies.
Okay.
This time around, and there are... there's a... I don't even know what this movie is. Oh, yeah, it's that one. There's a drama.
Uh-huh.
Like a survival drama.
Let It Go.
No, that's not from this year.
Yeah.
I'll say one's a Pixar, one's a Disney. Because
one's a Pixar,
I still attribute Pixar as Pixar films.
Yes,
and not
thank
Disney
you.
Films.
I appreciate
even though
that.
Many people
is
don't.
It Toy Story 3?
Toy Story 3, that is the winner
yes,
of the year.
It is the Randy Newman song.
Yes, do you remember what it's called?
My Funny Friend.
No.
And me.
It's We Belong Together.
We Belong Together, yes.
Oh.
All right, that's
did he,
one.
Did he win for every Toy Story? Because
yes.
He won for four.
He won for all of them.
I think he won for all of them.
Because
Jesse's
you've
song.
You've Got a Friend in Me.
Actually, I have it right
Jesse's
here.
Song and Toy Story.
No, he does not win for Toy Story 2.
Because
guess what comes out that same year?
1999 is Phil Collins.
For Tarzan.
For Tarzan.
He tore it up.
The Legend of Greystoke.
And then he did not win for You've Got a Friend in Me either, because that year
Disney
Pocahontas came out, and therefore Colors of the
Wind.
Wins. So really, he just won for 3 and 4. Anyway,
okay, well that makes up for 1 and 2, I
there
guess.
There you go, yeah. The better songs.
Yep, the better songs.
Okay, so then there's another Disney, or there's a Disney that is a fairy tale Disney.
It's
from 2010.
Tangled.
It is Tangled. And it
it's
is, I
the
see
lights.
The lights.
Yes, when they're throwing the lights up.
Beautiful song.
It's a great tune.
Great
that
song.
Movie tricked me. I didn't think it was a musical going in. I almost left.
Great.
Did you
musical.
Really?
It was at the time where I didn't accept that I like musicals.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's again, like, the anything before, like, literally almost anything before I start dating Allie, I'm kind of like...
I'm a grumpy curmudgeon.
I'm a grumpy person about.
Yeah.
Yeah. She brought out the best in me, so there we go.
Okay, there's another nominee this year is for a film starring Gwyneth Paltrow, Tim McGraw, Leighton Meester. Whatever.
Leighton Meester.
Sure.
Leighton?
I don't know.
Meester.
Do either of you know this movie with those hints? Because if not, I'm just going to tell you.
Gwyneth Paltrow,
Tim McGraw. It's an American drama film about an emotionally unstable country music star who attempts to resurrect her career.
Oh, I do know what this is. I cannot remember the name.
It's called Country Strong.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it was nominated for a song called Coming Home.
Because we're country strong.
Yeah, they sure are.
Oh, no.
And the other one nominee this year is from a survival drama film. It's music is by a guy who I believe won the best original song 2 years prior.
Great.
So 2008.
All is lost.
No.
A survival film.
Yes.
Everest.
It stars basically...
Into the Wild.
No.
Damn it.
Getting closer, though, because it basically stars one person.
Is it Emile Hirsch?
No.
Is it Into the Wild?
Still not Into the Wild. This person is more or less canceled now.
Is it Emile Hirsch?
No! It's about a man trapped somewhere.
Is it Buried?
No.
With Ryan Reynolds? About a man trapped somewhere.
Yes, and he must get free.
He must
get
out.
The only way to get free... is to
survive
127 hours. Oh. There you go. Yes, huh. 127 hours. A song called "If I Rise" by A.R. Rahman, who won for Jai Ho 2 years prior for Something Doesn't
Matter. Also a banger.
A very delicious dish too.
There you go. All right, we gotta keep rolling through these. All right, number 2011. There's two nominees this year.
Uh-huh.
I guess it sucks for music.
Weird.
The winner is a reboot film, as it were, for a big franchise. Anything I say about it will definitely give it away.
Tron Legacy.
Because the characters in this film, majority of the characters is what the title of the film is. The Blanks.
The Bad News Bears.
You're not even trying anymore.
It's not Marvel related.
Not Marvel related.
The Marvels.
It's not the Marvels.
Which we've seen 7 or 8 times.
Uh-huh, yeah, we've all seen it. We all love it. Best film of the year. The winner is Brett McKenzie.
Brett McKenzie.
Yes.
Brett McKenzie.
For a 2011 film reboot called The Blanks. This is painful.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I have no idea.
The Incredibles.
The song is called Man or Blank.
Man or a
Muppet.
Muppet. Yeah, the Muppets.
Yeah, am I a man or am I a Muppet? That is the wrong song from that movie.
To win?
Yes.
All right, well, it's the right one.
Oh, Life's a Happy Song.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
When there's someone by your side to sing along, life's a fillet of fish.
Hey! Yes, it is. Yeah, that is a fun one. The other nominee this year is one you're never going to guess. It's about a bluebird.
It's about a bluebird?
Yeah.
Oh, Rio.
There you go. And by never going to guess, I mean unless I give it away.
Yeah. It's Rio,
Rio, the first film, Rio. The song's called Real in Rio. I've never heard this song in my life.
I saw that movie in theaters.
Great. 2012, there were 5 nominees.
Uh-oh.
Do you know the winner off the top of your head, because it's
Let
a big
it go.
One. No, it's a big one. It's also the title of the film. The song's also the title of the film. It's from a huge franchise, and often, if it's not a Disney song winning, sometimes it'll be this kind of song winning. Because every entry in this franchise has a different
song.
It
is Skyfall!
Skyfall!
Which is the only James Bond film up to this point to win the Oscar for the for original song.
Well, yeah. It doesn't end, I'll say that.
No, it does not. No, it does not.
They've been nommed a bunch, though, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I thought.
But
Bond songs
but they've got 3 in a row now.
Oh, boy. All right, we also got a song called Before My Time from a movie called Chasing Ice. Ever heard of this?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. We have a big musical film had a nomination. The song is called Suddenly.
Suddenly
I don't remember.
I see from Les Mis.
Okay, yeah, there you go. I was like, I don't remember the song from the musical.
He sings in a carriage ride.
And then we have a... oh boy. Seth MacFarlane written.
Is this
song?
From Ted?
It's from Ted. Do you know what it's called?
The Thunder Buddy song?
No, it's not that one.
Nope.
It's called Everybody Needs a Friend.
Sure.
Needs a Best Friend.
Sure, it's a Randy Newman riff.
Yeah, it does definitely feels that way. Mm-hmm. And then there's one from a Ang Lee film.
The Ang Lee film
2012.
Of 2012 was Taking Woodstock.
No. It stars someone who has the same name as Spider-Man's dad.
Officer.
Oh, no.
Jefferson Davis.
No, it's Miles' dad.
Yeah, his last name is Davis, right?
Yeah, and other Spider-Man.
Other Spider-Man?
Yeah.
What?
What's other Spider-Man's dad's name?
Ben.
No, that's Uncle Ben.
Like, I know he has a dad, but I don't know his name.
It's Richard.
Richard Parker. Is this actually Is it? It's Life of Pi?
Yeah.
I thought Life of Pi came out in 2008. What am I doing?
Pi's Lullaby from Life of Pi was the other nominee.
Mm. Great.
2013, four nominations. Greg, what's the one that wins? You
Let
hoped
it
earlier. It's Let It Go by
Yay.
Frozen. Or From Frozen.
By Frozen.
By Frozen. We got a U2 nomination.
Of course we do.
For a documentary, I think?
From the Sky.
Oh, it's a biographical film.
It's a biographical film about who?
About Nelson Mandela.
Long Walk to Freedom.
Yes.
Nice.
The song?
Long Walk to Freedom.
Nope. Ordinary Love.
Got it.
We have a Pharrell Williams song nominated this year.
Happy?
Happy.
It's Happy from Despicable Me 2. We got a Karen O and Spike Jonze song nominated this year.
That's a hot couple.
That's a hot couple. I don't think they're a couple, but...
Well, maybe they should give it a shot.
They might be, actually.
Who knows? Know. See what happens.
From a film we've already talked about on this list... From 2013.
Her.
It's Her. The song is called The Moon Song.
Moon Song.
2014, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 nominees. Which one wins, Greg? It's a John Legend.
Happy.
Wait, no. That's Pharrell Williams.
I know the song, but I...
John Legend.
John Legend.
Has an Oscar?
He does. He's got an EGOT, my friend.
Really?
He does.
Good for him.
It's another biographical film.
I know it, but I can't think of the name of it. Something, Stan, something, nope.
I feel like you're in the right idea, but it doesn't have a stand in it at all. Let's see, it's a biographical film about a person who was assassinated.
Is it... Martin Luther King?
Yes.
About that?
Yes.
That movie?
What's that movie called?
Selma.
Yeah.
Glory.
Glory.
There you go.
Glory.
Then one of the nominees is Tegan and Sarah for the Lego movie.
For Everything is Awesome. But it's actually Sean Patterson who gets the nomination.
Right.
Because he did the music.
But they perform it.
They perform
it. And it's very fun.
It's very fun. We also have Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me.
Yeah.
I'm Not Gonna Miss You. I don't know what any of those words mean.
Rude.
is he an eagle? Glenn Campbell? Who's this? Who's Glenn Campbell?
I have no idea.
Oh, you said rude. I thought you
knew.
No,
I'm not going to miss you. That's rude.
Oh, I see. He is a country music singer, not an eagle.
Mm.
This is Glenn Fry.
Glenn Fry. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
And he's dead.
Rest in peace. And then we have Beyond the Lights. Heard of that?
I have.
What's the song?
I don't know.
Grateful. And then we have another one that I think is similar to... The we did start the fire song from La La Land. You know, that Billy Joel sings.
Yeah.
It's similar to that in that in this movie, this song is kind of like shown as like, oh, this is a bad like pop. You've taken my lyrics and made a pop song, and I think it's actually a really good song. And I'm like, am I the problem? Do you know what I'm talking about? Keira Knightley.
Oh, this is from Begin Again?
Yes. Lost Stars from Begin Again.
It's a good song.
I think it's a very good song. All right, we're just having a great time rolling through these. 2015.
Mm-hmm.
The winner is a Bond winner.
This is the Spectre song.
Yes.
And it's the...
Eilish?
No.
She's later.
That's yeah. later.
The Spectre song is by Sam Smith.
Yes.
And it is...
Oh.
The writing's on the wall. It's a bad song. I don't like it at all.
Not a great one.
Yeah.
Boy, this is a sad year.
Oh. Didn't have to pick five nominees, Oscars.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey had one called Earned
God.
It. The Hunting Ground, Till It Happens to You.
I don't know.
Do you remember that? The Hunting Ground's about rapes on campuses.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's a bad
title. It's
awful
a very
title.
Sad movie. And I remember Lady Gaga singing it at the Academy Awards,
okay.
And it was very good. And I was like, well, there's no way that's not winning Best Original Song. And then it lost to The Writings on the Wall.
Yeah.
And I was like, boo.
Don't worry, they got her back.
Yeah, it's fine. Racing Extinction with a song called Manta Ray, and Youth with Simple Song Number 3. What fun to guess those ones. That's why I didn't make you do it.
Thank you, appreciate it.
2016, we got La La Land wins with City of Stars. La La Land had another nominee, though, this year. Did you know that?
For the Messenger song.
Messenger song.
Yeah, the fire.
No, incorrect.
Audition.
Audition, mm. The Fools Who Dream. But there's also a Sting song, I guess, from Jim, the James Foley story, called The Empty Chair. So memorable. We got a Justin Timberlake song this year.
Was that for Trolls?
Yep. What's it called?
Can't stop the feeling.
Can't stop the feeling. Nothing you can do. Just dance, dance. And then the one that I think should have won. Well, I guess, I mean, La La Land was fine. It's not my favorite one from La La Land. That's why I'm like, that's a weird win. But I was fine with winning. But I think this one should have won. It is a Disney one.
Is it a Moana one?
It is Moana.
How Far I'll Go?
How Far I'll Go. I think a absolute banger.
That would have. Mm-hmm. That's a better one.
In the 90s, that would have cleaned up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just won't give Lin-Manuel Miranda an
Oscar. They don't want to.
I don't know why.
It's a smug little face.
Yeah, probably.
I love Lin-Manuel Miranda, but that's what I hear from people who don't. They're like, I don't know, he's just got a smug face.
Well, the thing
he seems
is,
like he's having too much fun. I'm like, what's wrong with
what's
that?
What's wrong with that? He's enjoying his life. He's got a Pulitzer Prize, do you?
Yeah. No. All right, 2017, another Disney win.
Frozen 2.
Nope.
Another Disney win.
Yes, it is.
What came out
after It's a Pixar. Apologies.
Is it a Coco?
It's Coco.
Mm. Oh, good.
Remember me.
Good song.
That's a good one.
Good song.
The other nominees include Mudbound with Mighty River, Marshall with Stand Up for Something.
No.
Then we got a full-blown musical film that got nominated for a song. It's a musical that I think is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And played by a very charismatic man.
Mm-hmm. Bad person.
Bad person, but like a pretty good showman.
Mm. The greatest showman?
I think it is. I'd say he is the greatest showman. Do you know what the song's called?
This is the greatest show?
Close.
I am the greatest show.
This is.
This is your
a
life.
Show.
No.
This is a great show.
Have either of you seen this movie?
No.
Okay, well,
I have
you have?
Many times!
It's the one the freaks sing.
Oh.
This is.
Us.
This
me.
Is
close.
Me.
This is me.
This
and
is
then,
us, the. NBC drama.
The other nominee this year is a Sufjan Stevens song.
Chicago.
No.
No, sorry. That's a just a great song.
You haven't seen this movie,
no.
But you will have at this point.
Oh,
no, wait.
Great.
I shouldn't say that.
Maybe?
Maybe. Might be soon.
Yeah.
Maybe spoiling things. It's Call Me By Your Name. Mystery of Love.
Right. Right. Great.
I think we will not have covered that yet, and
okay.
Never will.
Ever.
Okay.
Great.
2018, which one wins? It's a Lady Gaga.
It is Shallow.
It's Shallow, la la la, from A Star Is Born.
Just watch that movie again.
We also have a nominee from...
5 stars.
That's really good.
Great movie.
A Coen Brothers joint.
Is this Buster Scruggs?
It's The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, the song...
Buster Scruggs.
When a cowboy trades his spurs for wings. You're right. We got one from RBG.
Oh,
the
God.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg film. It's called All Fight.
I'm sure you will.
We have one from a movie I've never seen, but I hear is bad. It's a legacy sequel. That's a musical. And
a legacy sequel.
A legacy
musical?
Sequel musical. From a Disney film. From back in like the 40s, I think.
Huh.
It's about a character coming back. An iconic Disney character that everyone loves.
Mary
They're back
Poppins
now.
Returns.
Mary Poppins returns, but she's Emily Blunt now.
Did you say the 40s?
I think so.
That movie's from the 60s.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry.
If Holly was here,
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
My neck would be wrong.
No?
I saw The Return, but not the original.
Mary Poppins.
You've never seen the original Mary Poppins and
no.
You saw Mary Poppins Returns?
I did.
You've made a mistake. You've made a grave error.
The first one is just a delight.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, I haven't seen Mary Poppins Returns, but
she
from everyone I know.
The banister in reverse.
Have you seen someone edited the trailer for Mary Poppins to make it like a horror movie?
Uh huh.
And it is terrifying. It looks terrifying.
Yeah. That's fair. She's a scary person.
Yeah, she is.
Like,
I mean,
context.
She's an English au pair.
Yeah.
That's a terrifying proposition.
Already, yeah.
There's also a nominee this year from a Marvel film. 2018.
This is Black Panther.
Yes, all the stars.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last year, 2019. Which one wins, Greg? You should know this.
Bus. Why should I know this?
Because it's related to what you're currently doing.
Oh, it's a Rocket Man, where they hand Bernie Taupin and Elton John the pity Oscar.
For the song, I'm Gonna Love Me Again.
It's not a good song.
No.
It's aggressively fine at best.
Oh.
And then, so I was wrong. Randy Newman did not win for Toy Story 4 because he's also nominated this year.
Oh, yes.
But he was nominated. I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away is the song. There's also a song from Harriet called Stand Up.
Okay.
There's one from Breakthrough called I'm Standing With You. Diane Warren gets nominated a lot.
All
that's what
the
I'm
time.
Learning.
She gets nominated.
Because all these ones,
all
I'm like, I never heard of this. I'm like, oh, Diane Warren, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she was nominated in 2019, 2018, 2017. No, it wasn't there in 2016. Oh, there she is in 2015. And 2014, you betcha. Not 2013, though. And it looks like that might be it for this decade.
You want a movie song? Call Diane.
Yeah, that's
good
crazy.
For her.
Yeah, get her on the
good
horn.
The last one is from a sequel film. 2019.
Frozen 2.
Yeah! Into the Unknown!
Yeah.
Into the Unknown!
Yep. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah, don't put that song at the beginning of your movie. Then you have nothing to lead up to. What the hell? How is that the first song in the movie?
I mean,
that movie is...
It's the I Want song,
it's
right?
But it's abysmal.
But it's, yeah.
The movie's abysmal in where they put it. You know where the I Want song goes in The Little Mermaid?
Like
30 minutes in.
Yeah, it's after you've done like a bunch of fun songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
We gotta know who she is. We have the workers. We have the Fathoms Below song inducting us into the movie. I don't like Frozen 2.
Frozen 2 is the second highest grossing animated film of all time.
Yeah, but Olaf should have stayed dead.
Crazy.
He definitely should have stayed dead. I agree with that.
Fucking things need to have consequences for kids to understand.
Do you know what the number one highest grossing animated film of all time is?
It is, no.
The Lion King, 2019.
Fuck off.
Ha.
Ha 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 ha!
$1.6 billion.
Very nice. Let's keep printing that money like it's nothing.
Number three is a Super Mario Brothers movie.
Well, everybody, we gotta get going.
Fun. That was fun.
That was great, Amanda. That's a wrap.
Thank you guys so much. This is
thanks
fun.
For joining us, as always. And thank you, listeners. And you can find us on Instagram at Bad Neighbors Pod. Email us at thehammockdistrictonthird@gmail.com.
Numerical 3.
And you can follow our Patreon, or subscribe to our Patreon. You can follow it too, but mostly subscribe. If you want to hear our weird commentaries and shit, which we're recording this well in advance, so I have no idea what we're doing right now.
Who knows?
But maybe it's Twilight.
Maybe it's Twilight.
Come speed.
That's it. As always, bye!